Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 10 if you have not already done so. We are going to be, at least in part, examining this account of Cornelius. It is good to see all of those who are out. There is a good crowd this morning, and hopefully we can worship God together in spirit and in truth. Hopefully we can enjoy our time being together, enjoy our time studying about God's Word, singing songs of praise, the prayers that have been offered, and hopefully we can leave saying that it has been good to have been here today. I've always enjoyed the study of Cornelius, and I have several lessons over the years that revolve around this historical account of what we tend to call the first Gentile convert. And it's because of that that it really intrigues me, because we are all Gentiles. And so it's interesting to me to look through this account of Cornelius, because it lays out a lot of things for us as far as what we need to do as people striving to do what God wants us to do, what it is that we actually need to do in accordance with God's will. I'm going to go through just the history of this, hopefully very, very quickly, and I won't get too awfully sidetracked. But if you look at the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 10, really we get this description of a righteous man named Cornelius. Seems to be a very good man. He does a lot for God. He prays. He gives alms. He does a lot of things that we're supposed to do. Then if you go into verse 9 through 16, we see Peter being inserted here to go to Cornelius to be able to get him to understand what it is that he needs to do next, which I believe is very important. So God, through a vision, tells Cornelius to send messengers to Peter, and they arrive in verses 17 through 22, and there's a conversation that takes place there. As we pick up in verse 23, we find Peter arriving in Caesarea and basically trying to figure out why it is that Cornelius has called for him. What was the circumstances that caused you to call for me? Why am I here? What are we doing here, Cornelius? And so he explains to him in the verses that were read for us, in verses 30 through 33, if you were following along. I love verse 33. "So I sent for you immediately. You've been kind enough to come. Now then, here's the point. Here is why you're here. This is why I have called you." He gets some pleasantries out of the way. "So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, this is the reason that we are here." So he says, "We are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." It's that phrase that I want us to examine today. God had heard the prayer of Cornelius. Again, if you go back up into Acts chapter 10, it's one of the things that is talked about there, that he was a devout man. He prayed to God. And God tells him, he sees this vision, and God tells him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." God has heard your prayers. I think a lot of people would have the story stop there, wouldn't they? Well, God has heard our prayer. God has answered our prayer. There's really not much else that we can do. Just continue to keep praying, and God will continue to keep hearing your prayers, and everything will be okay. No, God heard your prayer, and there's something more that you need to do. Now, you need to hear God, Cornelius. You truly need to hear God, need to hear about God. And you're going to have to take some action when all of this is over. I love that part of it. Because oftentimes we would take this man, Cornelius, and say, "You know what? That's a good dude. He's good to go. Right? This is a great man. This is a good man. This is a great man. This is a man who is striving to do what God wants him to do. We already know that God heard his prayers. What more can this man do? God said, because you have heard, or I have heard your prayer, I now need you to hear me, because there's more that you need to do. It was not enough that God heard Cornelius. Does God hear all of us? I think that he does. Now, there are times where I think we can say that, yes, God turns his ear away from those who are wicked. But it's not that he's not aware. It's not that he's unaware of things that are going on. He knows, he hears. But it's not enough that God heard Cornelius. There was more that Cornelius needed to do. And I think we as listeners need to have the attitude that Cornelius had. And that's what I want to talk about today with that verse. Many think that they already know everything. You know, I was young and I understood the comment that was made to me. But we were trying to have a marriage class. And we were beginning that and said, we're going to start this marriage class. Everybody is invited to come. And I had this one couple come up to me and basically say, listen, we've been married for almost 50 years. What are you going to teach me about marriage? Well, you missed the point. I'm not necessarily going to teach you anything. There are things that we can learn. But my whole point in specifically going and asking this particular family to come was, I more want you to teach the class. There are some things that you can teach us about it. But so often, don't we have that attitude, well, what's in it for me? What are you going to be able to teach me? And I can remember feeling, you know, when I wasn't married, didn't have any kids, and I was trying to teach and preach about marriage and about, you know, raising children. And I got that own feeling, you know, in myself. What can I teach these folks about raising a family, about being married? And certainly there are some things that not being married and not having children that you're going to miss. But God's Word lays a lot of things out fairly clearly. But too often times we have this attitude of, you know what, I already know. What is it that you're going to teach me about this subject? Cornelius did not have that attitude. He said, you know what, we're all here and we're all ready to listen. How is it that we can be like Cornelius today? Let's take a look at the first part of that phrase. He says, we are all here. Well, who is that? Who is all here? Because if you go down through the account, he's only talking about Cornelius. Cornelius was a righteous man, right? Cornelius gave alms to the people. Cornelius was the one who was praying to God, and God heard his prayers. So when Cornelius stands up and says, listen, Peter, we are all here. Who is he talking about? Everyone is here. Well, let's go to verse 24. Of that same chapter, Acts chapter 10. It says, on the following day, he entered Caesarea, speaking of Peter. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. He's waiting for Peter. He's ready. He knows that he's coming. He has sent for him. He knows that he's going to come back, or trusts that he's going to come back. And he's waiting for him to come back. He doesn't say, you know what, I'm really busy when all of this is over. No, to me, I get the idea that Cornelius kind of cleared his calendar. So you know what, whenever he gets here, we're going to be ready. And he called his friends and his family. I believe it's important to be here. Again, this is not a COVID, coronavirus point where you should be here. You shouldn't be at home. Now, I appreciate the fact that we have opportunity to have things online where those who cannot come. And so that's not what I'm talking about. But if you look at the verses, he says, we are all present. We're all present. before God. We are all here. I think there are a lot of times when we're here and we're not here. Have you ever been like that? You're here, but you're not here. You're not present. Not aware, maybe, of some of the things that are going on. Said this my whole life. I don't know what it is about the frequency that a football game and announcer are on. But I cannot hear the sound of a woman's voice when there's a football game on for some reason. Maybe we're like that. I'm there. I'm present. I'm in the room, but I don't necessarily hear when Alana says, "Hey, Tony, can you do this? Can you get this for me? Can you take care of one of the kids?" Right? That selective hearing that sometimes we get when something else that maybe we have deemed more important is going on, and we tune everything else out. How often when we're here do we do that? We feel like maybe being here or being present, being physically here is enough. But what I want to suggest to you today, and I think the point is, Cornelius was there. He was in the moment. He was present. He wanted to know what was going on. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, again, we read verse 25 all the time, but I want to go back up into the context just a little bit into verse 23. Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." Now notice this, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some." So to me, when he says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds," when he says, "not forsaking our own assembling together," he's saying this is not a way to provoke love and good deeds. How do we provoke one another to love and good deeds if we're not here? If we're not present? If we're not in the moment with one another? He says some will make a habit of it, as is the habit of some. Then he goes on, "but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." As the world gets further and further away from God, I think that tells us that more and more we are going to need each other. We are going to need each other. We're going to need each other in those moments. We're going to need each other to be present in those moments. And again, that's not just here as in the building. There are opportunities that we can have to study, to learn, to encourage one another, even throughout the week when we're not here. In the 122nd Psalm, David writes, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" When we have these opportunities to study God's Word, are we glad? Are we happy? What do our children see in us when we're getting ready to go to services? Do they see something that their parents are dreading? Because they will see it. They will absolutely see it. And they'll remember it. And they'll remember it as something that was, they weren't glad when they went to the house of the Lord. They were always frustrated. You know, we were always running late. They were always angry. They always complained after the fact. Kids will notice those things. And it will become less and less important to them. Do we show our gladness with invitations to others? "Hey, I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Why don't you come with me? Why don't you come with us? Just come and see us." You don't even have to tell them about me. Oh, you won't like our preacher, but all the people that are there, all the singing, right? The prayers that are going to be led. You're going to love our worship to God. Are we like David and can say, "I was glad when they said, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Cornelius said, "We are all here present." He continues that. "We are all here present before God to hear." Cornelius knew why he was there, and even more than that, he knew who was there. Do we realize that when we come here, when we gather together to worship God, that God is here, that God is present as well? Notice what he says. I sent for you immediately. You've been kind enough to come. And now then, we are all here present before God. He doesn't say before you, Peter. Now, we know just a few verses earlier that he tried to bow down and maybe show a little too much homage to Peter. And Peter said, nope, I'm just a man. Stand up. But here at this point, he says, listen, we're all here before God. Not here before you. Yes, you're here and you're going to be teaching us, but I know who is present and I know why I am here. I am present. I am here to hear, to listen to what you have to say. Cornelius didn't start talking about his own righteousness as some people may have. If you look at Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells this particular parable. Starting in verse 10, he says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God is not present, right? He's going to address God. God is not there in the mind of this Pharisee. Even though they may be in the temple, God is not present for this man's prayer because he was praying to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. Could Cornelius have done that? Look at the description that's given about Cornelius again in Acts chapter 10. Now, there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man, one who feared God with all his house, gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. Do you think that Cornelius in that moment could have just said, you know what, Peter, we're all here together before God. Let me just tell you who I am. I'm a devout man. I'm one who fears God. I give a lot of alms to the Jewish people. I'm a good man. He doesn't do that. He knows that that's not what he's there to do. He's there to listen to what God has to tell him. He's there to learn. And I believe that he recognizes the importance of the moment that he is in. He's not there to get to know Peter a little bit better. Can you imagine as a follower of God having Peter be right in front of you? Having the Apostle Peter be there with you. Wouldn't you want to get to know him? Wouldn't you want to ask him some questions, get to learn maybe a little bit more about him and the time maybe that he spent with Jesus? Cornelius doesn't do that. He knows that this is not some sort of social event. He wasn't there as a meet and greet to the Apostle Peter. He had this attitude. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. We have a short amount of time here. Let's get moving. Let's get down to business. James chapter 4, verse 13. It says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city, spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I believe that Cornelius understands the importance of the moment that he is in. He's not there to talk. He's there to hear, to listen. Guess what Peter's there to do? To listen. Now, Peter's voice is going to be going, right? But there's some things that Peter doesn't even quite understand yet. He's going to pass on the knowledge that he has. But as we'll see toward the end of the lesson, the Holy Spirit kind of says, time out, Peter, you need to listen now too. See, even me, today I'm here to listen. I'm here to listen to what God has to tell me. I don't mean just listen to me as I'm talking. I mean, listen to these words that God is trying to teach you today. He was open-minded enough to know that he needed to hear. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Basically, Cornelius said, grow my faith. Help my faith. Help my faith grow. I am here to listen to what you have to say. I'm here to gain a better understanding of God's word so that I can have a stronger, a more accurate faith. To all of those people, and again, I get it. But to all of those people who will say, listen, I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual. Right? I have a relationship with God. I have faith in God. I go outside. I spend time in nature. And that's my time. I don't read this Bible. I don't read this book. Do you have faith? You can say that you do. You can say that you believe maybe in God's Son. Not my words. How does God tell us we get faith? Faith comes from hearing. Hearing what? The words of Christ. Do you have faith if you don't listen to the words of Christ? If you're not hearing the words of Christ, do you have faith? Listen, I understand. I understand spending time in nature and feeling close to God. I grew up on farmland. You know, we had 95, 98 acres to run around on. And very few places do I feel closer to God than there. Because that's where I grew up. That's where I spent time. So I get that. But if I do that without reading God's Word, studying God's Word, do I have faith? I think God's Word tells us, no, you can't. At least not the right kind of faith. Because faith comes from hearing the words of God's Son. And so I believe Cornelius understands the importance of the moment here. He says, I need to grow my faith. I need to have a better understanding of God's Word. But so oftentimes, I think we look at God's Word and say, you know what, I've read that verse 1,000 times. I've read those verses 100 times. I know what's in it. I know what it says. And we don't think we can learn anymore. We need to be careful about that. We need to have the attitude of Cornelius. And every time we open God's Word, be open-minded to what God has to tell us. The last thing that he states here. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Here's what Cornelius wanted. He wanted God's truth. Peter, I don't need your take on it. I don't necessarily need, Peter, your opinion on what you think God is trying to do. My desire is to obey God, and so I need to hear His truth, His Word. Do we have that same desire in our own lives? Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start in verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 2, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Does that in any way lessen Timothy's responsibility to teach it? Does the fact that knowing, when he says, listen, there's going to come a time when people are not going to endure sound doctrine. They're not going to listen to it. But does he say, when they stop listening, stop teaching? No, you need to be ready in season and out of season to preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. You're going to have great patience and instruction, because there's going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to want to have their ears tickled. They're going to want to accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, not yours, not God's, but to their own desires. And they're going to turn away their ears from the truth, and they're going to turn aside to myths. Is that happening? I think it happens more and more every single day, where people just want, we don't want you talking, because you tell us everything that we do wrong. We don't want you to read God's word, right? We want to preach more about God's love. Is God love? Yes. But when those things get difficult, we read in John chapter 6, when disciples started walking away from Jesus, Jesus asked his own disciples, "Do you want to go away also?" Because they said, "If this is the way God's word really is, who can hear it? Who can listen to it? This is hard." And again, Peter responds with, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." It is only in God's word that we're going to find what we need to do to have salvation. Do we have people who want Cornelius tickled? Or are we these type of people who want their ears tickled? Right? Who accumulate for themselves. See, I'll listen to the people who say what I want them to say. That's your own desire. That's not God's. Don't turn away your ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. But listen to what God has to tell you. Paul was very much known for this. In Romans chapter 15, and there are several other examples where Paul states this or something like this. But in Romans chapter 15, he tells the Roman brethren, starting in verse 18, "For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." The gospel of Christ has been fully preached. And it's been fully preached over and over and over again. And I hope that I can say, and that you can say, you know what, Tony has fully preached the gospel here. Maybe not in today's lesson, but over the time, over the course he's been here, I believe that he's fully preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel has been fully preached. Do we fully listen? That's the question. Do we fully listen? And again, I'm not excluding myself from that. I have to listen too. Yes, it's been fully preached, but has it been fully heard? Cornelius was ready to do that. Are you? So what happened as Cornelius is being taught, as he gets prepared in Acts chapter 10 to receive the word? Let's find out what happens in that instance. Well, we find that Peter, as he begins Cornelius says, "Listen, we're all here to hear whatever it is that God wants you to say. Whatever God has commanded you to say, that's what we hear." Opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly now understand that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth." He begins at that point, much like Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch. He begins at that point and preached unto him Jesus. What happens? Well, I told you that we would get to this a little bit later. But the Holy Spirit says, "Time out for a second, Peter. I need you to listen." So starting in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were listening to the message. Didn't fall on Peter, right? It had already done that. But the Holy Spirit didn't fall on Peter. He fell on those who were listening to the message. Does Peter, and again, all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So everybody is standing amazed. It says, for they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. And what does Peter do? Does he say, listen, you guys are set. Not only now are you this good man who gives alms to the people and does all these great things, you guys are set. You now have the Holy Spirit. What does Peter say next? Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Peter says, hold on a minute. You know, I was teaching you about Christ. Now I'm being told, I'm being given this sign that salvation is for you. Baptism is for you as well as to the Jews. And so he commands them to do that. And that's exactly what they do. God heard the word of Cornelius. Then he asked Cornelius to hear his word. And we may ask, well, what was the Holy Spirit then? Why did they fall on these men? Simply this, as it always was. The miracles that Jesus performed, the miracles that the apostles performed, the miracles that all of the first century Christians did. What was the purpose? It was always to confirm the word that was being spoken. He was not only confirming it to the Gentiles who were hearing it, he was also confirming the word to Peter, who was preaching it. Peter, this is your confirmation to the word as well. They were obedient to it. Will you be? Yes, God heard, but so did Cornelius. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, have comfort in the fact that God hears. God knows what's going on in your life. But that's not the end. God doesn't say, listen, I hear you, my child, everything will be okay. No, oftentimes he says, Tony, I hear you. Here's what I need you to do. We have a responsibility as well. If you're here and not a child of God, you can become one today by being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, just the same way that Cornelius did. Still confirming that same word that Peter was preaching to Cornelius that day. The words of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you are a child of God who has fallen away, there's time and opportunity to make your life right with God today. Come back. If you need the prayers of the saints, we're here to pray with you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to help you in any way that we possibly can. If you're here and subject to God's invitation, won't you please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.